Okay, I'm ready. I've been thinking about this very episode for weeks and weeks and trying to figure out how to just let it out. So I don't know if you noticed, but there's sort of a pattern, a method to this madness. It all comes out in one sort of seemingly stream of consciousness, but what actually happens behind the scenes is I get an idea, I think about stories, I make a bunch of notes, I have all these bullet points in my abstract brain. That's right, I'm a lefty. So I can kind of compile them together and I stew on it for days and days. And then when I'm ready, it'll just click and it'll all come out and into one long rant. And that's the way I do, okay? I'm mama bird, you're baby bird. You get it? All right, so the star card is about the way that I see it, and the way that the illustrations that I like to go with are a naked figure of a woman kneeling under the night sky with two pitchers of water. One she pours into a pond or a lake, a river even, a body of water, let's say that, and the other into the land, into the grasses. And behind her is a fruit tree. You could even think it's the tree of knowledge. And from it, there's a nightbird that's singing the song of nature. So, what the fuck does that mean, right? I imagine that all of the dressed figures in the tarot, their clothing represents different positions in life. Not only externally, like how we recognize people out of a crowd, what everyone's job is, but the way that tarot is, it's not there's no fixed figure to represent any particular person, because it's each a lesson that we all must partake in. So we all get to play in a full lifetime, we all get to play each person, each gender, each position in our own ways. So the nudity in this case, the nudity in the night represents letting go of identity, letting go of putting on airs, putting on some kind of costume that's signature of your station in life, and the pouring of your pictures. Water represents emotions, love, feelings, dreams even, intention from the heart. Pouring into the water, the collective water, is pouring from the heart into the collective, and pouring into the land is manifested from the heart. And when you do this, when you let go and you're not thinking about how it looks, you're just coming straight from the heart, just like this AC over here, taking it up a notch, just pumping a bunch of that garlic bread my downstairs neighbors are making right into my nose. Great, that's fun. So I don't know if you could tell, but I'm a little annoyed right now, and I'm late in publishing this episode of Neon Cauldron. I've been working on a lot of things. I feel like so excited and inspired and irritated. It's hard to explain. I just feel like everything's getting tight. And one thing I've always done as a tarot reader is I've been ruthlessly my own self, and I find that I'm actually fairly amiable, so it's not like that difficult to just be me and be out there. But I've gotten advice from people that I shouldn't swear, or I shouldn't say anything problematic, or I shouldn't smoke cigarettes. I mean, theoretically I agree, but the thing is, I feel like I would not do a good job, and I would do a disservice to humanity if I faked my, if I had any insincerity in me. The star is the card of the healer. And it's a card we all get the opportunity to play in a long lifetime. We all get to shine in some place. We all have a light inside of us, something that is so pure and full of love and inspiration that when we pour from that place, we heal the world in a small way. So it's the card of the healer and the artist. So how are the healer and the artist the same thing? Of course you know the answer to this. If you've ever heard a song before that rocked your world, you know. Because when you hear something that's so pure and you can't help but like turn on your mirroring neurons and be like, wow, this person is singing from the depths of their soul and are playing or whatever, and it's catching my heartstrings and it's making me feel less alone in this world. Like a little sparkle in the night sky, you look up and you see there's something out there, and I'm not even sure what the fuck it is, but I know that I'm seeing it, I'm receiving it. So that's another thing about the stars and the starlight. When you shine from that place, I believe that it's one of the most purposeful cards in the tarot, and like really what your mission on earth is, like the thing that you need to put out there. So the stars, their light stays for even after they go out, you know, supposedly that's what those dang scientists say anyway, that the light keeps traveling, you know, for many, many years after even the star dies. So imagine, you know, someone like Kurt Cobain, who said, you know, it's better to burn out than fade away, but I don't know, that was his thing, apparently. And I was watching some interviews with him, and when I was younger, I was a Kurt-aholic. I loved the fucking shit out of Kurt Cobain, are you kidding me? I loved him. And his light was so brilliant to me and to so many others, because he really didn't give a fuck. Like, he gave a fuck about like what mattered to him, and the rest was just non-consequential. He wasn't trying to put on airs or trying to be cool. He just was cool because he was sincere, and his attitude and whatever, even, you know, his personality and way of dressing, his way of not giving a fuck, that became popular and it became posh, you know? So when he sang or when he screamed or when he whatever, and his guitar, everything was fairly simple, but it wasn't the simplicity that stayed with everyone. It was the sincerity. And there are many artists who have a tactful and skillful approach to their craft, whether it's music or painting or gymnastics for fuck's sake, or making fucking quesadillas, like whatever it is. You could be talented, but if there's no love in it, it has no sauce, it has no soul, you know? So someone who, oh God, I'm just like winking off on the artist concept over here, but someone who has, you know, like, it's like food that your grandmother makes you, that when she puts her heart into it, it's better, you know? It does. I don't know if you love to cook, but I love to cook. When I cook, when I'm like anxious or depressed or something like that, or angry, my food, it could be the same fucking thing. It's not as good, you know? It's just not. And that's like the secret little flow. It's a flow from the heart into the water, into the land. The nudity of not worrying about the presentation necessarily as much as the expression. So it's hard to say where the expression starts and where the presentation stops. What the fuck did I just say? Okay, so let's just say, when we are presenting ourselves in a way that is genuinely from a place of passion and a place of love, we can pull off some cool things, you know, if we are constantly stopping at what we imagine we should present ourselves as, we are not inspired, we're fearful. So the inspiration, that's the thing that sets your soul on fire. That's the thing that becomes a light to others. And we all get our opportunity to show this. So I was rolling around in my head for many days, trying to figure out what part of my life I can express to you as the star. And, I'll tell you one of the first times I was in the newspaper for a good reason. When I was a kid, well, I got kidnapped once, which I'll explain at some point. I think I'm going to save that for a different episode, but don't worry, I'm fine. Okay, so I was in, I don't know, second grade. And there was these theater artists that came into my school, and they did a little presentation, and they were telling us how to do theater. And I thought it was so cool, and I really wanted to do it. And at that time, I was a very shy and awkward kid. Big surprise. But I was wearing this, like, oversized sweater. It was a knit sweater that was kind of silvery, and it had a tinsel silver knit into it. It was like white and silvery. It was my auntie's sweater that she gave me, and I like adored her. So it was too big for me, but I wore it anyway because I loved her so much. And we were supposed to do Cinderella. So they asked volunteers to come up and do Cinderella as a play, and then we're supposed to just like listen to their advice on, you know, being a performer. And I loved it. So I came up and I took my sweater off, and I think I wrapped it around my waist a little bit to look like a Cinderella dress. And I was just like totally in the moment, and I loved the idea of it. And for some reason, that was a picture that got in the newspaper. I don't know why. I guess small town, I'm not sure why that was in the newspaper, but it was just kind of like, what the town's up to? Kids are learning how to play pretend. Not really newsworthy if you ask me, but for me as a kid, and having an opportunity to rise and shine. And I was like, I get to be Cinderella? Oh my God. Like, I loved it. Are you kidding? And, and then I got in the newspaper. I swear to God, I never believed in Santa Claus or anything like that. But that was one of those moments where I was like, there is real magic in this fucking world. Look at this. Read it and weep. So, I mean, that was a starlight moment, because I really felt, I felt so on. I felt like I was doing a great job, and I was so into it, and it kind of didn't matter to me if people were liking it, even. It sounds sadistic or whatever. It sounds narcissistic. But honestly, it felt great to perform. Not really someone who's heavily involved in theater. I've been in some strange, small, short films and things like that for friends, but that wasn't like the beginning of my acting career or anything like that. But that was a time that I felt like I could shine. And honestly, I think it was small moments like that that slowly showed me how to shine and how to come out of my little shell and be on. That's not something that happens easily. So eventually you get to a point where you're able to let go and just come from this artistic point of expression. I was having a conversation with a bartender recently, and we're catching up, and he's an actor, and he's putting a one act on, and we were talking about the different things he wanted to do and how he's worried that the play was too small, short, what do you call it, not long enough. And he was talking about, well, maybe I should do this in the beginning, or maybe I should do that, and maybe I should also make it a fundraiser and this and that. And then we're talking about it, and I was like, you know what, don't. Like, honestly, every time I go to a play, I feel like it's too long, and I hate myself for agreeing to go to a play again. I'm like, I already told myself, never go to a fucking play. Plays, musical, opera, ballet, it's fun for like the first 20 minutes maybe, and then you want to leave. You're like in art jail. You can't move. It sucks. Doesn't matter how fucking funny it thinks it is. I feel like I'm in hell. I have ADD. I can't just sit there like that, you know? So, it's not a very nice thing to tell an actor, by the way, but I have, no filter. So, he was like, yeah, I know what you mean. And I was like, you should just let it be what it is. You don't have to dress it up. Just let it be what it is. Let it speak for itself. And I think that's one of the hardest things to step into in the star quality is like the, who am I to do this? Who am I to sing my song? Who am I to put my art into the world? Who am I to express my fucking self? And the only answer I could think of is you are you. No one else can be you. And we're all curious on what that's like, even if we say we're not, you know. And we need all these voices. We need all of these expressors, because we're all reflecting back in this like infinite fractal of this shared soul that's divided and orphaned into all these different consciousnesses. And we need to hear what the research is and all these different bodies and experiences. We need to hear it all. And in time, you know, not every voice is for us, but it's all connective, and it's all so important. It would just be this vacuum if no one showed up, you know? So I guess what I'm saying is, I mean, this podcast itself is my star card. It's a place for me to be nude, to be vulnerable, to let down what I think I should be like, or who I think I should sound like, or what I think you want. I'm just pouring from the heart into possibly the collective. I'm pouring into the manifested by having made it and put it in the world. And yeah, it's just me in the dark, you know? I'm just me in the dark, a little bird on top of a bird tree, singing to nobody, except for there's someone there, there's you. And I may never meet you or know if you care or not, but you're here. So the thing about experiencing the star from the inside, you can't ever know how it will be perceived. But that's not the point of it. The point of it is the exercise. The point of it is contributing. And it's not about the feedback. It's about the feed, the expression. And the thing about perceiving the star is you're going to interpret it in your own way as it's applicable to you and your experiences. And it could inspire or motivate you to find your own inner starlight and eventually how you'll put it back out there. But excuse me. But it's a way of just signaling in the dark that you're there, like through time and space. And I feel like the more we turn on that way, we turn on like the setting on my air conditioner here. This air conditioner, I guess, if I am the star, this air conditioner is just the nightingale that's singing their spooky song in the darkness. So sometimes, oh man, this is becoming more and more of a confessional. Sometimes they have fantasies of being able to sing well, or not even to perform necessarily, but to be able to sing well. And there was a short time in my life where I could sing well, and it was because I did it a lot, and I got better as I went. But I'm out of practice, and I basically live in a glass house. Like, everyone can hear everything I do or say, which I don't necessarily hate anymore. I just don't think about it. But I don't want to sing. So when I think about that, I think about allowing myself the feeling of really being able to sing, because it's like soaring with the eagles, you know what I mean? It feels good. It feels good to sing like that. It feels good to sing well. And you know instinctively when someone is doing something performatively for the recognition, then it becomes, I think that there's something innately detected within you that's like a turn off. You're like, this little showboat, like this little singer idiot, like I don't like that. I could tell they're trying to make me like them so hard. They're trying to trick me, and I don't like it. And that's how I feel. And that's why I'm one of those who don't really like most popular music. I'm like, you're trying to trick me into falling in love with you, and I'm not gonna do it because I could tell it's a fucking trick. Go back to soul school and try a little harder. So that's where I'm coming from, because that's just what kind of monster I am. So if there's something inside of you that you want to express and that you want to put out, don't think about how it's perceived. Think about what you want to see from it. Think about what the exact color and dimension of it. Think about how to poke into the channel of your own inner light and how to express that. It doesn't have to be it doesn't have to necessarily be masterful to be beautiful, or well executed to be artistic. It's about truth of expression. And I think it's so dire, and there's such a dire importance for us to be able to do this more and more. And I think it cleans out our soul, and I think it cleans out the soul of the universe the more we do this. And it's but one card on the Fool's Journey. It's but one card of the 78 of the tarot. It's not everything, you know. It doesn't mean that we think the world revolves around us, we're so important that we get to be the artist, but it's that all of us need to be the artist. All of us need to find a place where we can be completely vulnerable in the way that we express from a clear, clean, pure, and motivated soul, and like why we're here and what we need to express before our light is extinguished. There was this little Sunday school banger that I used to love when I was a kid, and it went, "This little light of mine, I'm gonna light it. I'm gonna light it. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bush. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." And singing that song in a choir of other bobble-headed children made my heart so fucking happy, and I can't even express to you the delight I felt singing that in unison with a bunch of other little kids. Oh my god, so good. And I felt it inside of my heart. I felt that little light of mine. Even though I wasn't really sure what the fuck it meant, I knew that I couldn't hide that little light of mine, and I was so sure of it. And I think that definitely brainwashed me to thinking the little light of mine, whatever it is, I can't hide it, because it's God-given. It's something that is important and sacred, and I can't let Satan blow it out. No, I gotta let it shine. So I hope that for whatever reason, this is something that has ignited your belief in yourself. If not yourself, then just your little light, and to let it shine however it does. And as you go, make it simple. You don't have to dress it up. You just have to exercise it. And it's not up to you how other people feel about it, or what its part in a greater picture is, or who it will inspire, or how many other lights might feel like they can turn on too by seeing you express yours. That's not important. It's the exercise of singing that song. And with that, I'm gonna leave you and go to bed.